بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن سهل بن عمرو وقيل سهل بن ربيع بن العمر الأنصاري المعروف بإذن الحنزلية رضي الله عنه وهو من أهل بيعة الرضوان قال: مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ببعير قد لحق ظهره ببطنه، فقال: اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة، فاركبوها صالحة وكلوها صالحة. رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. This hadith, the initial part of it we discussed quite at length already. Just to recap, the narrator of the hadith, Sahal bin Amr, who is known as Ibn al-Hanzaliyya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a camel which was very, very lean, in other words, starving, extremely hungry. قَدْ لَحِقَ ظَهْرُهُ بِبَطْنِهِ The back was sticking to its stomach. Observing this obvious maltreatment of this animal, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned and warned. He said, "Fear Allah. Fear Allah in your treatment of these animals, al-mu'jama, that are mute. In other words, they cannot speak. They will not be able to articulate or complain about the maltreatment that they are receiving. So make a special effort to be very cautious and careful." As we mentioned in great detail, we learn from this and ulama have enumerated approximately, in fact, more than 30 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam advocated the correct treatment of animals, treating them in a humane manner, being cognizant of their rights and their hukuk. Important point to be noted, which we are reiterating, that if animals have rights in Islam, then what about your servants and your staff and your laborers? How much greater is their right in Islam? To be careful how we speak to them, pay them an appropriate salary, pay them on time. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us with animals, make sure they are fed properly, don't unnecessarily burden them. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif: do not burden them with that which will overcome them. In other words, your staff, your slaves, etc. If you do give them work which overpowers them, then assist them. Up to this point of the hadith, we mentioned already. Then there were two other injunctions which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave: farkabuha salihatan, ride the animal in a good manner. In other words, feed the animal on time. Don't overburden the animal. If you are more than one rider and the animal doesn't have the ability, then you should avoid that. In fact, it is not permissible in Sharia. In other words, don't overtax the animal. The third part of the hadith, very interesting injunction Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives. He says, وَكُلُوهَا صَالِحَةً. Consume the animal, or eat the meat of the animal whilst it is salih. In this context, we will translate as healthy. So, one meaning ulama ikram give of this: eat healthy and fit animal's flesh, not that of a sick or a lean animal, as this will contribute to good health. We learn sanitation requirements in Islam. We also learn from this that Islam advocates that we eat that which is healthy. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says, eat of the pure. One is pure from a halal point of view, the other is pure from a health and a medical point of view also. Be cognizant and careful about that which you consume. Don't eat rotten meat, don't eat stale meat. Be careful about how you acquire that which you are consuming. Another direction from which muhaddithin explain this hadith kuluha saliha. They say it doesn't actually mean the flesh of the animal, but the manner in which you slaughter the animal. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advocated the rights of this makhluk and creation of Allah Ta'ala. When they are alive, treat them properly. And when you take their lives, Allah has made their flesh halal for you, if you slaughter them in a halal manner. But be careful about how you do that also. Slaughter in a humane manner. And here also we find various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make sure the knife is sharp. When you slaughtering a number of animals, don't slaughter one animal where the other animal can see what you are doing. In fact, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw someone doing this, he said, why are you killing it more than one time? Each time you passing the neck over its, the one that is associated with it, it is as if you're taking its own life. It's feeling that pain, it's going to feel the pain of its own slaughter. So be very, very cognizant and careful in this regard. The next hadith is narrated by a sahabi who was 10 years of age at the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was also from the Ahle Bayt, Ali Rasul, the noble family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name was Abdullah. His acronym or kunyat was Abu Ja'far. This is indeed a very, very honorable sahabi if we look at his lineage. On the one hand, his father was Ja'far Tayyar. Ja'far Tayyar. Tayyar means, comes from the word tayr, bird. It refers to the special distinction that Allah bestowed upon the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, the son of Abu Talib. On the one hand, his father had this distinction that he was amongst those who made hijrat twice. Hijrat to Abyssinia and thereafter hijrat to Madinah Munawwara. There were few sahaba that had this distinction. They were in that group. One of them was Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He made hijrat to Abyssinia, then he came back to Makkah. Later on he made hijrat to Madinah Munawwara. Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu made hijrat to Abyssinia. And then in the 7th year of hijrah, made hijrat from Abyssinia to Madinah Munawwara. He became shaheed in Muta. The manner in which he was martyred, his hands were cut off, his feet were cut off. It's a lengthy incident, but Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the basharat and glad tidings that Ja'far is flying in Jannat. So that is where the laqab or title Tayyar comes. From the word tayr, which means bird, obviously a bird flies. So Allah Ta'ala elevated him. The Nabi, Allah Ta'ala showed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he was flying in Jannat. So his son, like I mentioned, his name was Abdullah. He is the narrator of this hadith. With regards to him, obviously being of that Ahle Bayt, Ali Rasul, the family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the lineage of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed great and intense love for him. Once he said, it's mentioned in hadith, that he said that Abdullah is similar to me in appearance and character. So in other words, to be compared to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. This is why this particular sahabi, throughout his life, he was known for his generosity, his chastity, his nobleness, his truthfulness. He passed away in Madinah Munawwara in the 80th year of Hijrah, buried in Jannatul Baqi. There was a huge crowd that attended the janazah of Abu Ja'far, Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Passed away at the time of demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned, he was only 10 years of age, yet the unusual superior intellect and intelligence which Allah Ta'ala blessed him with, the testimony of this is the fact that there are ahadith that are quoted by the sahabi. Of the 8 or 9 ahadith that he quotes, two of them are muttafaq alayhi. In other words, found in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. This sahabi, he narrates, أَرْدَفَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ خَلْفَهُ. The first part of this hadith is the reason that Imam Nawawi has introduced it in this particular chapter. For those who will recall, part of the lengthy heading of this chapter, جَوَازُ الْإِرْدَافِ عَلَى الدَّابَّةِ, the permissibility of more than one person sharing an animal, إِذَا كَانَتْ تُطِيقُ ذَلِكَ, if the animal has the ability. In this instance, this sahabi, Abu Ja'far, cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in other words, his cousin's son, so his nephew, shared the camel with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned, when he came to Medina Munawwara, he was 7 years of age. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was also the 7th year of Hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away the 10th year of Hijrah. So he would have been 10 at that time. So when this occurred, this particular incident, his age was between 7 and 10. So at that time, obviously an adult and a little child sharing a camel will not in any way inconvenience or be beyond the ability of that camel. So he says that, أَرْدَفَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ خَلْفَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared the camel with me. One day I sat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَسَرَّ إِلَيَّ حَدِيثًا لَا أُحَدِّثُ بِهِ أَحَدًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ. He says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me a secret. He shared a secret with me, and obviously his love, his devotion, he was from the Ahl Bayt for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He qualifies this by saying, لَا أُحَدِّثُ بِهِ أَحَدًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ, till I die I will carry the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with me. He told me something, confided in me. So we learn an important usul and etiquette. Someone shares something private with you, don't share it with somebody else. Guard the secret that someone, a lot of times people confide, sometimes very delicate matters with us, an instant, straight away look for somebody else. You know what, I got one secret, but don't tell anybody else. You're not supposed to be telling it in the first place. Somebody mentions something to you, confides in you privately, it's an amanat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-majalisu bil amanah. When you and someone are sitting alone, any discussion, that majlis is an amanat. And part of the amanadari and trust of it is that don't share what is confided in you. Keep it as a secret. Now the question arises, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sahib e shariat. His every action constituted the law of Allah ta'ala. So, how to come Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shared some secret with this particular sahabi? Ulama qualify it in this way. They say we should bear in mind that whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confided in this youngster, part of his family, was not something that was part of shariat. Because to conceal shariat, conceal any law of Allah Ta'ala that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have told him is totally impermissible. So it would have been some private matter that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some personal matter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, it is not permissible to conceal it. In fact, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Those who will conceal matters of shariat that they know, will not share it, on them is the curse of Allah and the curse of everyone that can curse. So that is the first point we should bear in mind, that the secret that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam confided in him is obviously something of a personal matter. This is why he did not share it. Otherwise, to conceal part of shariat or anything that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said would not be permissible. Before I come to the latter part of the hadith, we've already run out of time. Another very, very important point that we learned. How to treat our youth. The respect we should show them. Today, we see the youth are gone completely off the track. Many of them are far away from Deen. They are facing challenges, whether it's internet, mobile phones, etc. So how to bring them close? How to win them over? Many of us have this previous mindset. Previously, dictate to them, shout them, scold them, scream at them. This Islam, if we look at the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is not what he taught us. He said, "Akrimu auladakum," honor your children, honor your children. We mentioned previously the beautiful hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where she describes how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet Fatima and how Fatima would meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashika Rasul, a lot of us say, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm a follower of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask ourselves if we practice on this. She says, when Fatima would come, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up. He would go to the door. He would receive her. He would kiss her on her forehead. He would hold her hand, walk with her to where he was sitting, make her sit and then sit next to her. And this love was reciprocated, this treatment. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit Fatima, Aisha radiallahu anha describes this in detail. She says Fatima would first kiss the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hold his hand, take him to where she was sitting and make him sit first, then she would sit. This was the type of relationship Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fostered and developed with his children. We look in the incident of Yaqub alayhi salam in the Quran. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. That Yusuf alayhi salam confided his dream to his father. I saw 11 stars, I saw the sun, the moon, they were making sajda to me. Very significant dream in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. Point which ulama extracted, that this youngster faced something confusing, something astonishing. Who was the first person he turned to? His father. So that is the type of relationship we are supposed to develop with our children. Today when the child faces a challenge, very rarely he turns to his father. He'll turn to his friends, he'll turn to others. Why? Because that type of relationship is not being fostered. This daily ta'aleem that we are told to have with our families is to build that and foster that Islamic relationship with our children. So that for their shara'i matters also, they will turn to their parents. Point what we are making, akrimu auladakum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam's age, at the time that Abu Ja'far came to Medina Munawwara, was 57. Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam passed away at the age, Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam's age was 60, Islamic age. He passed away at the age of 63. So the only association that this youngster had with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 7 to 10, 60 to 63. And yet, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shares a secret with him, makes him sit with him on the camel. What does this teach us about how we are supposed to treat our youth, particularly the youth of our family? The love, the bond, to give him that kind of respect that a 60-year-old man is sharing a secret with a 7-year-old child. And look at the giving him that respect, so how importantly he takes it. He says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shared a secret with me. I will go to my grave and I will never reveal the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq.